This is the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's February 7th, 2007. Continuing to read from some notes from last year that we took. This is a story of the scholar and the pots. Scholar and the pots. Once a big Chaturvedi, Calcutta Brahmin, came to Mayapur to ask a question of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur refused to answer. He asked him, please, why don't you go wash the deity pots? The big Chaturvedi scholar balked at first, and finally he agreed and he surrendered to do some humble service in the temple. While the scholar was washing the pots of the deity, the answer automatically came in his mind. Later, when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said, or later he told that to Bhaktisiddhanta, and then Bhaktisiddhanta said to the scholar, actually, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is understood by a sincere service attitude. And then he quoted the verse from the, which is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.2.2.34. Atak Sri Krishna Nabhavet, how is it? Namadi, Nabhavet Graham Indriye. Sevan Mukhehi Jivado, Swayame Vasparatyada. Well, an often quoted verse by Srila Prabhupada also. And we can look at the translation here. This one says here, Krishna's transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes cannot be perceived by the blunt material senses, graham indriye. When engaged in the Krishna's service, beginning by using the tongue, sevan mukhehi jiva, by chanting Hare Krishna, then Krishna's transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes will personally manifest. It says the human material senses cannot perceive Sri Harinam because it is transcendental sound. But the Harinam will appear by itself to the purified senses headed by the tongue of the Sevan Mukha Sadaka, in whose heart the desire to serve Krishna has arisen. That's interesting. They're relating to everything to the holy name. Prabhupada generally refers to the general spurti of Krishna. In Krishna's name and form, everything will become revealed. Now this is another translation. Says this says here, the Nam, Rup, Guna, and Leela of Sri Krishna can never be perceived by the material senses of the conditioned soul. Only for one whose mind and senses have been purified by chanting and serving under the guidance of Sri Guru will Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes become manifest. Sri Harinam will manifest on the tongue of such a Sevan Mukha Sadaka naturally by itself. That's an interesting term. Sevan Mukha Sadaka. The sadaka, the practitioner, his mukh means his face or mouth, must be engaged in seva. Atak Sri Krishna Nam Adi, beginning with Sri Krishna's name. Sri Krishna means Radha Krishna Nam. Sri means Radharani and Krishna means Krishna. Sri Krishna Nam Adi. So it begins with the name, Sevan Mukhehi Jivado. Then Swayam Eva Spurati, Spuratyada. Spurti means manifestation, vision, a type of darshan within the mind and heart. So Narayana Maharaj, he gives a comment in this Shlokamrita book. He says, this shloka is like a thunderbolt on the heads of the Sahajiyas. So the Sahajiyas, or the chief imitationists, they say that you can immediately meditate on Krishna's Leela, and that you can then you can enter Krishna's Leela. Here's Siddha Pranali, and you enter it. But this verse is saying that you will not perceive this. You cannot. There's no spurti unless you're purified. Then you have to do seva, beginning with the tongue, jiva. Jiva means tongue. Jiva. Jivado, seva mukhe. So when, and it's spurti, it's manifest. The name Krishna's Leela will be manifest in our mind and heart when we're purified by serving. That's what he's saying. Not that you can just, okay, now I'm going to meditate on Krishna's Leela. Forget about chanting Naam or becoming fixed in Sankhya Naam. I have my Siddha Pranali, I have my Sakhi Manjari Sarup. Now I'll meditate on Leela. But you can't enter there. It's a spurti, it has to be manifest. And that manifestation is coming down. It's called Avaroha Panta. It comes down from above. So we have to please Krishna, beginning with the name. This is, verse originally comes from Padma Puran. Then it's quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.34. And also in Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 17, verse 136. So it's a very important verse. That this is how we see God, we realize God. Some people say, oh, Prabhupada, I want to see God. He said, yes, you see God by with your tongue. Sevan mukhe jivado. He says, beginning with the tongue. Sri Krishna Nam Seva, and it begins with the tongue. So you said, spurti, the spurti will come through the tongue. You'll see Krishna through the tongue. You'll chant Krishna's name, and when he's pleased, when we become, our consciousness becomes purified, then his name and form will become revealed. The name will reveal the form will reveal the qualities, and the qualities and form will reveal Krishna's pastimes. So that seeing Krishna is seeing Krishna with the tongue. We don't see Krishna with the eyes. Prabhupada often mentioned that, this verse. So there's a little bit more. Bhakti Sanatana continued to preach to the Chaturvedi. No amount of intellectualism or even knowledge will enable one to understand Krishna. Just by reading books and reciting shlokas will not help you if you don't develop a service attitude. By serving God will personally give us all the answers to the questions in the Shastras. My guru, Maharaj, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, was considered illiterate. He was not a pundit. Yet all the shlokas and siddhantas automatically came in his mouth because he was sevan mukha, always inclined to serve Krishna. So people have so many questions, many, many questions about and doubts and problems, but if they actually do seva, then they get vigyan, they get realization, they get spurti, Krishna becomes manifest. Sevan mukha. So he says sevan, seva means doing service. Sevan unmukhe means one who's favorably engaged in Krishna's service. Sevan mukhe means that your face is turned towards service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. O Mother Hara, O energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani, O pleasure potency of the Lord, please engage me. Please engage my mind in thinking of Krishna. Please engage my senses in working for Krishna. Please engage my mouth in speaking about Krishna. So this is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. But generally we find that people are chanting so much day and night, but they don't have any, no spurti comes. Because they're not chanting with service attitude. If you chant the holy name with an attitude of service and actually reflecting on the meaning, then when you're finished chanting, you think, oh, what can I want to do this service? I want to do that service. There are three types of bhakti. Arupa Siddha Bhakti, Sangha Siddha Bhakti, and Sarup Siddha Bhakti. Devotional service is of three kinds. This is from Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchade 217. Sri Jiva Goswami. Devotional service is of three kinds. Arupa Siddha, Sangha Siddha, and Sarup Siddha. Amongst these three, those who by their nature are not attracted to the practice of Shravanam and Kirtanam, and who do not have a favorable inclination to perform Krishna Anushilanam, means activities directly for the pleasure of Krishna, but somehow, in order to fulfill some material objective, make an offering of their work to Bhagavan, that activity becomes attributed with bhakti, and thus it is named Arupa Siddha Bhakti, or karma that is attributed with devotion. So someone, they don't really want to engage in bhakti, but they want to continue doing your work, but they give a donation to help build a temple. So it's attributed, it's connected, it's not directly bhakti, but it's somehow connected. Or they, I don't really want to get involved, but I'll become a life member. So this is the word aropa means attributed to. Sangha Siddha Bhakti, this, although by its intrinsic nature it is also not imbued with the quality of bhakti, it is siddha, which means established as bhakti, because it involves the cultivation of qualities which are known as sanghi, or associates of bhakti. That's why it's called sangha. These qualities, such as peacefulness, kindness, cleanliness, are naturally seen in the personality of devotee, but are not intrinsically bhakti in themselves. This is described in the following shloka. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 3, verse 22. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity, the disciple should learn from him the process of pure devotional service. Lord Hari is inclined to give himself to his pure devotees. Therefore, the disciple should learn from the spiritual master to serve the Lord without duplicity, and in such a faithful and favorable way that the Supreme Lord, being satisfied, will offer himself to the faithful devotee. Another shloka, 11th canto, this next shloka, chapter 3, verse 23, also describes Sangha Siddha Bhakti. A sincere disciple should learn to disassociate the mind from everything material and positively cultivate association with the spiritual master and other saintly devotees. He should be merciful to those in an inferior position to him, cultivate friendship with those on equal level, and meekly take shelter and serve those in a higher spiritual position. So now, this is more on Jiva Goswami's commentary. In this way, one attains devotional service, which is sometimes attained by the help of jnana and karma. Sarup Siddha, this is what we want to do. This is established as bhakti, this is actually devotion or bhakti, by its continual nature, is manifest when devotional service is no longer mixed with jnana or karma, when the Lord directly appears before the devotee, and when a devotee has pure and unswerving devotion, unwavering devotion for the Lord. This kind of devotional service, Sarup Siddha, is characterized by various devotional activities such as hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So that verse, that's Sarup Siddha Bhakti. Puja, prayers, etc. This means hearing about the Lord, chanting His glories. These activities are different from the activities of Aropa Siddha Bhakti. Even if one is bewildered, foolish, or has a host of shortcomings, and even if one merely imitates the activities of devotional service, by performing these activities he comes in contact with Sarup Siddha Bhakti and attains the result of that service. Examples of this are Sri Prahlad, who in his previous birth fasted on the Sringa Chaturdasi, or the hawk who circumambulated the temple of the Lord following a dog, and many fools who, even though they could not see the truth, still sometimes bow down before the Supreme Lord. So, these examples are Aropa Siddha Bhakti. It's attributed to Bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj, for example, in his previous life, he went to an Ashringa temple and with his girlfriend in the woods, and he swept the temple floor, so it was an abandoned Ashringa temple because they wanted to enjoy there. So he swept the floor, and they had been walking through the forest all day, so they hadn't eaten or drunk anything. And then when they got there, there was some storm, or they got in some argument, and they were just arguing, and they didn't do anything, and they fasted all day and they stayed up all night. Yeah. And then somehow he died. And then because he had done that service, he wasn't conscious of it. It was just like indirect, but it was attributed to bhakti, because sweeping a temple is actually lima bhakti. It comes under padasevanam. But he wasn't connected to guru, so it wasn't under the guru's order. So it's connected. So then he got the benefit of becoming born and demoniac family because of his bad activities. But because he did bhakti, he became a great devotee. And he heard from Prahlad, he heard from Narada Muni in the womb. And the story here is mentioned about the hawk and the hawk who circumambulated the temple of the Lord following a dog. There was one dog was chasing, he was a hunting, hunt, one man went hunting for birds, and then the dog was chasing a bird. Okay. And the bird, and so the bird flew around the temple four times. And then the dog, because afraid of the fear of the dog, then they shot the bird and killed him. But because he circumambulated the temple, he became a human being his next life and became a devotee. So it's attributed to bhakti. Aropa means it's attributed, but it's not directly bhakti. And he still got some benefit. They still got tremendous benefit. So then this is Aropa Siddha, and then the other one is the Sangha Siddha. This is just like developing good qualities. Like someone, it's Sanghi, it's related. If someone becomes peaceful, or they become like becoming a vegetarian, or giving a lecture and telling people they should become vegetarians, it's like Sangha Siddha. You know, it's pointing people in the right direction. So because ultimately bhakti means that which is, that's what it says, Krishna Shilam, that which gives direct pleasure to Krishna. So food for life, distributing food or prasadam to people, is not giving direct pleasure to Krishna.
There are some places that Krishna says that I am more pleased when you serve my devotees.
Yeah.
And if they serve the
that's a limb of devotion, it's part of saving them, serving devotees.
So sometimes you might be in some service which is not directly thinking and remembering Krishna, but it might be pleasing his devotees. It might be.
But pleasing devotee is also, this is also considered sarup, siddha bhakti, because it's, as you said, Krishna is more pleased if his devotees are pleased. That's padasevanam, pleasing devotees.
So it is.
That's one of the nine limbs of devotion. The idea is sort of siddha means it's one of the nine limbs of devotion.
So it is equally beneficial for a devotee if he is involved in such an activity which is not directly
pleasing to Krishna.
Meditating on Krishna, remembering his qualities.
It's beneficial, but it's not as powerful, and it's more slow. The whole emphasis, in other words, the whole emphasis is to prepare one to enter the spiritual world. The spiritual world, there's no hospital, there's no food for life, there's no selling paintings, there's no building temples, there's no life membership, all these things. There's only hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. That's all anyone's doing. Yashoda and the coward boys is hearing and chanting about Krishna, day and night, dreaming about Krishna. Krishna's Nam Rup Guna Leela, that's it. That's everyone's engagement. So the more one can be absorbed in Krishna's Nam Rup Guna Leela, the sooner he'll realize his sarup. Because that's what we, and when we have sarup, that's what we do. These other things are just to engage our nature, because I'm a doctor and I've got to do something to make money. So okay, we'll get all the doctors together and have a hospital. But if you're only doing doctor work and you're not remembering Krishna's Nam Rup Guna Leela, it's going to be a long time. Although you may be pleasing the guru and running the hospital, it's going to be a long time before you go back to Godhead. It's not bhakti. Yeah. No, the thing is, you'll get bhakti, but as I said, it's a time factor. When you'll get it. That's the whole thing. Just like if someone's a grihastha, so the guru says, your service is to maintain your family and to raise your children. So that's also service, and you're pleasing the guru by doing that. But in the context of that, as much as you're absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna's Nam Rupa and Leela, that's how much you're going to be fast to become purified. The whole thing. Like sometimes the devotees here, they talk to Prabhupada and they say, oh, Prabhupada, we just want to dedicate everything to you. And he said, no, the goal is Krishna consciousness, not guru consciousness. The goal is to be Krishna conscious. Remembering, absorbed in Krishna's name. At the time of death, we have to remember Krishna's name form qualities and pastimes. It's not that we just, you know, remember Guru. The Guru is training everyone to be absorbed in Krishna, but that's that we have to do ourselves. Even when we're raising a family, we have to always be hearing and chanting about Krishna's Nam. You can't say, well, I'm raising my family, that's enough. It's not enough. It's just, that's a position you're in, so then you try to connect with Krishna, but the closest connection to Krishna is always to be chanting his Naam Guna Rupa Leela. That's what Krishna's telling Arjuna. You're fighting. Okay, Krishna. Arjuna said, look, you told me to fight, I'm fighting. Krishna said, that's not enough. Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mama Nusmar Yujacha. You fight, but you always remember me. So that means Naam Rupa Guna Leela. So you're doing food for life, but you have to be always, at the same time, you're distributing food, but you have to be chanting Hare Krishna and meditating on Krishna, Dham, Rukun, and Leela. You're shooting arrows and chanting this mantra and fire weapon and water weapon and mountain weapon, but you have to be remembering Krishna. This is Bhagavad Gita. So that's Surup Siddha Bhakti. The other thing is connected. Oh, I'm carrying out this service, I'm a fighter. This is like, what is the category? It comes in as... This is Rupa Siddha. It's attributed to bhakti because Krishna told me to do it, so it's bhakti. But Duryodhana is also shooting arrows, but it's not bhakti. It's not connected to Krishna. He's the anti-party. He's doing everything the same. So Krishna, he's acting under the order to fight. So that's a Rupa Siddha bhakti. But while he's fighting, then he's also thinking of Krishna, which Krishna is telling him. Then it becomes Surup Siddha bhakti. So you're just doing your family thing. I'm working, but you know, when I'm giving, I give 5% of my income to the temple. Like in Chobani Beach, they have a tithing program. Maybe you don't know, but they have some program. Grihasthas have to give a percentage. They used to the temple to maintain everything. So you do that. So that's a Rupa Siddha. It's attributed to bhakti. It's the order of your guru. Padasevanam, serving guru. But while you're working, you have to also be absorbed in thinking of Krishna. Then it's Surup Siddha Bhakti. And Surup Siddha Bhakti, that will quickly purify your consciousness. There's nothing more purifying than the name of Krishna. But if you're just working, working, money, then at the end you give the 3% to the deities at the end of the month. That's good, it's a Rupa Siddha. You can't say, but you were more than 24 hours a day, you never thought of Krishna. You never remembered his name, Naam Rupa Guna Leela. So you can't just say, well, I've given the money to the temple, therefore I'll get bingo, I'll get perfection.
Would it be right to think that...
The ideal thing is, you know, just according to our nature and our position, we're engaged in so many... That's why there's these different kinds of bhakti, that's why it's all described. If bhakti's all one, then why they go all this... You know, there's mixed impure bhakti, karma mishra and jnana mishra, then vaidhi bhakti, then raganuga bhakti, and bhava bhakti. There's so many different levels of bhakti. This is the last teaching, one of the last teachings that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave. And it's said that the last instructions are the most important ones. This is a basis that, for example, your father may have said so many things when he's leaving his body. He said, listen, I said so many bad things about your younger brother, but actually, let me set the record straight. Even have a phrase like that. Let me set the record straight, which is colloquial slang, I suppose, or slang. Now you maybe got a bad impression about me and my relationship with your younger brother. Because he's been out of the house, he's been in Europe for so many years. But let me actually state everything clear now. Actually, I love him as much as I love you, and I want half of my estate to go to him and half of it to go to you. And so everyone should cooperate and treat him nicely and just forget everything how I was treating him. So then, actually, that's a very important instruction. So the last instruction is most important. So that's why it's a very important point, because people often say, oh, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, do your karma. Many Indians say that. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, do your karma.
Yeah, I'm
doing my karma. Krishna says in the sixth chapter, and they quote the verse, karma na tu phalam tesham or something. That's just in the beginning of the teacher's class. The teacher's giving a class. So he says, so there's something called karma, there's something called yoga, there's something called gyan. So these are different points. Now, you should understand that the best thing is bhakti. Now, this is what bhakti is. Now that you've understood all these things about karma and gyan and everything, now just forget about everything and surrender to me and always think of me, become my devotee. That's the conclusion. That's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. And that's what Krishna, why he came to speak to Bhagavad Gita. But people, these materialistic people say, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's called the devil quoting scriptures, the devil quoting the Bible. The devil comes and says, do you know what in the Bible it says? Hey, what are you talking about? You're the devil. What are you trying to quote the Bible for? So they want to take, they say, well, okay, you're quoting a sixth chapter, but what about, why? But is that why Krishna spoke the Gita? To engage you in karma? Is that why he spoke it? That you're just doing your karma, this is your dharma, just to go out and make money and be a marwari, and you think you're following the Bhagavad Gita? You're in big illusion. Following the Bhagavad Gita means the conclusion. What is the teacher teaching? What is Krishna teaching in Gita? Drop all these dharmas, drop all these karmas, forget all these dharmas and karmas, become a pure devotee. So that's Krishna's last instruction. Sarva dharma pratyaja mamekam sharanam braja. So that's most important, and that is the essence. And twice he speaks in the Gita, 9th chapter and in 18th chapter. Manmana bhavamad bhakti madhyajima namaskar mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Become my devotee. Think of me. Worship me. He doesn't say mano seva madhava seva. Serving mankind is serving me. He says, think of me, not mankind. Worship me, not mankind. Become my devotee, not a devotee of mankind. And this way you become dear to me. So what is your preaching from Bhagavad Gita? So last instruction is the most important one. And the term is avashesha agya balavan. Agya means order, teaching, instruction, agya. And balavan means very strong, imbued with strength. And avashesha means the end. So we should repeatedly examine Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's final instructions. And they should be the guiding life or guiding principles, for they contain the essence of his teachings. So this was his last instruction, which is also contained in Upadeshavali. Upadeshavali is a series or collection of teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Everyone, please preach the message of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami with great enthusiasm. The ultimate objective of our lives is to become particles of dust at the lotus feet of the followers of Rupa Goswami. Our true identity is to be the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami, life after life. Our only motto is Raghunath Das Goswami's prayer contained in Mukta Charita, wherein he offers pranams to Rupa Goswami. He says, Adadanas Trinam Danter, Idam Yatche Puna Puna, Srimad Rupa Padam Bojo, Duli Syam Janma Janmani, which means Adadanas Trina Danter, Trinam. He says, taking grass between my teeth, I pray repeatedly that I may become a speck of dust at Sri Rupa Goswami's lotus feet, birth after birth. Listen, everyone, Bhaktisiddhanta said. Please remain united in submission to the deity, seeking to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Make your way through this impermanent, transitory life in whatever way you can, keeping the goal of worshipping Krishna foremost in your minds. Don't abandon this goal even in the face of hundreds of dangers, insults, or persecutions. Don't lose your spirit if you see the majority of the people can't accept the principle of selfless service to the Supreme Lord. Please always chant the holy name, being humbler than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. We can only comprehend the exquisite taste of service to Krishna's lotus feet after transcending these worldly attractions and repulsions, and by being attracted to Krishna's holy name. Practice without proper conduct falls within the category of karma, mundane activities. Without criticizing the nature of others, we should correct ourselves. We should understand that loud calling out of Krishna's holy name is bhakti. So these are some of the last things that he spoke before he left this world. On January 1st, 5:30 a.m., 1937. Different books that are very favorable for Krishna consciousness. These are favorite books of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. One of the favorite books of Bhaktisiddhanta was Raghunath Das Goswami's Vilap Kusumanjali. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati memorized all 104 verses he learned by heart. Of course, he was like a walking encyclopedia. Vilap Kusumanjali is a very intimate book. It's one of the prayers of lamentation, bouquet, Kusumanjali, a flower bouquet of lamentation, or prayers, anjali offered in the hands of lamentation and separation from Radharani. It's all prayers from the angle of vision of being a manjari. Raghunath Das Goswami is Rati Manjari, or Tulsi Manjari, or Banamati, three different names, and he is praying to Radharani, "Oh, when will I serve you in my Siddha Sarup as Rati Manjari? Oh, please reveal yourself to me." Then all of a sudden he has a spurti or a vision. He says, "Oh, Radharani, I'm brushing your hair. And when I'm brushing your hair, I will consider each strand of your hair to be more valuable to me than millions of my own lives. I'll be so careful and brushing your hair that I don't pull any hair out or anything, so careful." You know, when a lady brushes her hair, so much hair comes out. And so he'll be so careful that one strand means one piece of Radharani's hair be more valuable and more important to him than millions of his own lives. As we protect our own life with so much care, he'll be so careful and gentle in brushing your hair. So then he's doing that service, and then all of a sudden he loses that vision. Then he laments, "Vilap, oh, I saw you. I was rendering this service in the Nikunj. I was brushing your hair, and then suddenly you disappeared. Oh, my life is useless. When will I see you again?" So this is a very intimate and wonderful book. The many acharyas, they encouraged their disciples. Of course, I gave it to all of you. I gave you one book called Radharani's Prayers, Prayers to Radharani, which you have in your collection of unread material. Everyone has a copy of it. It's a book of five or six different prayers to Radharani in ring binding. Everyone has Shamala, everyone, Hita has. And one prayer is Vilap Kusumanjali, and there's Prarthana, and there's different collection of prayers. Radharasudha Nidhi is also there. You have that. So that's very nice. Yeah, that's similar to that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati always worshipped Krishna along with Radha. He would often quote the last verse of Vilap Kusumanjali to illustrate this point. "O Radharani, with beautiful thighs, in reciting this poem, Vilap Kusumanjali, I have revealed my cherished hopes and desires for attaining your service. But if you are not merciful to me, Radharani, then what is the use of my life? What is the use of my living in Vrindavan for 40 years? And what is the use of even association with Krishna himself?" So this is the 104th prayer, the last prayer. And Vilap Kusumanjali, Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, "What do I care about Krishna? If I don't get your service, Radhadasyam, is everything to me." And that, of course, is the epitome of Krishna consciousness and Gaudiya Vaishnavism for those devotees who have a surup in Madhurya Bhav, is to attain the eternal service of Radharani as a manjari. Now this is the manjari bhava of Bhaktisiddhanta. Whenever Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati described the last 12 years of Mahaprabhu's Gambhir Leela, where the Lord felt ecstatic feelings of Mahabhav and separation mood of Radharani, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would completely lose himself in ecstasy and forget the external world. And sometimes he would enter trance. And when his trance would break, he would recite a verse from Krishnas Kaviraj's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Lila, chapter 17, which is practically the end, verse 60 and 61. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a Gambira, he's in the mood of Radhabhav, Radharani's Mananaki Mahabhav, feeling intense separation from Krishna, Rajendranandan Krishna. Because Krishna wanted to know what is Radharani's pranaya, Mahima Pranaya, the greatness of Radharani's love, and what does she experience, what happiness she experiences by loving me. So Krishna had these desires, so he had to become Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, Radharani's Bhav and Kanti. So then Bhakti Sanatha, he would recite this these verses, and his voice would be faltering, a choked voice, and be full of tears. Ha ha Krishna Pranadan, ha ha Padma Lochan, ha ha Divya Sadgun Sagar, ha ha Sham Sundar, ha ha Pitambara Dhar, ha ha Rasavilasa Nagar, Kahan Gele Toma Pai, Tuma Kaha Tahan Jai. Alas, alas, where is Krishna, the treasure of my life? Where is the lotus eyed one? Alas. Where is the divine ocean of all transcendental qualities? Alas! Where is the beautiful blackish youth dressed in yellow garments? Alas! Where is the hero of the rasa dance? Rasavilas Nagar. Alas! Where can I go to find him? Tell me and I will go there. Kahan gele tomopai tumi kahan tahan jai. So we'll read one more. This is called Stool and the Dham. One day, Bhaktisiddhanta and disciple were walking from the Chaitanya Math to Yogapit on that main road. On the side of the road, there was human stool, which you can find even today. The devotee covered his nose with a cloth. Sometimes people, when they smell something bad, they go like this. And he showed signs of discomfort. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati laughed. Ah, ha, ha. It seems that you can't smell the sweet fragrance of the holy Dham. Only the mundane stink of this material world is entering your nose. You should not think the holy Dham a mundane place. It is an extension of the Lord's own person. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati repeatedly warned his disciples against making offenses to the holy name, the holy Dham, and the deity. Namaparad, Dhamaparad, and Sevaparad. A very nice vision. Oh, it appears that you can't smell the sweet fragrance of the Dham. You're only smelling, taking notice of the stool and reacting unfavorably. That's a very pinching statement. Mm-hmm. I remember I once took some people came from New York, some God brothers, and they came to visit Radhadamodar, and it was my habit to bathe every day before lunch, so we'd make Prabhupada's offering in the kitchen. And then while he was honoring the prasad, Prabhupada was honoring his prasad, then we would go to Jamuna and take bath. And then come back and then clear the prasad, and then have a Guru Puja Artik and Kirtan, and then honor Prabhupada's prasad. So some God brothers were there, so I said, why don't you come with me to Jamuna to bathe? Oh, we don't have any gumshas. I said, oh, I have some extra. So I gave them. So we got there, and we got to Jamuna. They said, oh, Jamuna's all dirty. Look at it, it's all mud and everything and dirt. It's very dirty. I don't want to bathe. How can you bathe? It's so dirty. He said, it's not dirty. Jamuna's not dirty. What do you see? He said, you're seeing your heart. If you're saying that Yamuna is dirty, you don't want to bathe in Yamuna, but do you know what Yamuna is saying? Yamuna is saying, you're filthy, black, dirty. I don't want you to come in my water. Get out from here. Actually, Yamuna is telling this from her side. You're only seeing it from your side. What do you think Yamuna is feeling about you?
Yeah.
So you dirty, filthy person. Your heart is full of lust, anger, and greed, envy, all black dirt. Don't you? I don't want you coming my dirty my water. Don't come in here. So you should think. You're worried about the Yamuna. What do you think the Yamuna is worried about you? Well, she's so merciful that if you approach her with a proper attitude of submission and humility and offer pranams, then she may allow you to take bath and become purified and become attached to Krishna. Kalindi. So anyway, you stay on the bank. I'm taking bath. So this is the wrong vision. Oh, Yamuna's content. Really? You're so pure? So then, if you're so pure, why don't you do your Yamuna a favor and purify her by your contact? Why don't you bathe in Yamuna since you're so pure and you can purify her by your contact? Oh, the water is all green. Oh.
I guess you can see what your heart is. That's why you see it.
Yeah. Your heart, that green that you see in the water, they say you're green with envy. They say when someone is really envious, they turn green. Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Ki Jai.